Church, it's good to have you all here and with us today, and we're just continuing going through different passages of the Bible, and this week we're going to be in Psalm 133. It's actually just a real short chapter, only three verses long, but we're just looking at the first verse, hopefully we can learn a little bit from this passage this morning. Psalm 133:1. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brothers to dwell together in unity." Now, this whole concept of the brethren dwelling together in unity, we will look at and we'll take a focus at here this morning. But we all understand that if you take two cats, you tie their tails together, and throw them over a clothesline, you may have union, but you do not have unity. And see, what I want for us to understand is that the church is the same way. Just because we gather here in this building, we may have union, but we may be far from unity and being unified. So what this verse is saying is that even while the brethren are separated, we should still be in unity. So even as we exit these doors, we should still be in unity. There's one common denominator that we as Christians have, whether in the same room or scattered around the world, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. We still, even though separated, need to be sharing in unity. As they were seen scattered in their habitations, it was beautiful. Imagine as David would look out amongst the kingdom and see all of the different dwelling places and people that lived in them. And then as they would, David would probably be in his office or his lounge room on a Friday night, writing a new song for the Sabbath day sermon, or something of that nature. He would think of the nation. He'd think of God's people and how wonderful it is if they dwell in unity. How especially pleasant to see them actually assembled. And that's one of the first things Tim mentioned in his prayer this morning, is as we are gathered here together, as we assembled together, I hope that we understand and are captivated and consider ourselves blessed to be able to be together. There may be a time coming when we have to, as the early day Christians had to scatter to the catacombs and meet in just a few small numbers, or in the caves, or in off in the woods somewhere. You never know; it might happen again. And so it'd be that time where we look around and would long to remember what it was like to be together with what we call the congregation at Harlan. As applicable, even in the church today, it's kind of like us saying it is good when the congregation at Harlan meets together. We many times talk about our spiritual battery recharge that we have during the middle of the week as an opportunity, again, to share with one another. And you know how you go into a text many times and you have a preconceived notion? Oh, come on. I know you do. All right? But then when you study it out and you see what the text and what God's Word really says, this isn't necessarily talking about just getting together here on Sunday mornings with the congregation at Harlan. It's a deeper, it's a broader concept of that. It would be like meeting then with other faithful bodies as Christ as well. And so I took an opportunity to list down some of these opportunities we have to fulfill what this text is more likely talking about, rather than just Harlan getting together, but Harlan getting together when we have a revival. Now, how many of us love it when other congregations come and visit our revivals? Okay, so you know what we need to do? When other congregations have revivals, we go and do the same thing. If not, we're getting a little selfish, right? Okay, so if we enjoy them coming and visiting from our revivals, it's usually neat to, at the end of the night, have different congregations raise their hand and see you got, you know, 6, 10, 12 different congregations represented. It's a good thing. Youth rallies. We got one of those coming up. You know, if only Countryside shows up at the youth rally, it's going to be a pretty boring youth rally. If only Harlan would show up, it'd be a pretty boring youth rally. If only, but you put Harlan and Bronson and West Unity and you start adding all these and countries, you start putting them all together, then that's more what it's talking about in this text. And then we find the same thing in different camps and rallies and different things, that we find that it's not just about us. Amen? That there's more. If not, we start getting what is called the Elijah complex. And we're the only ones, right? We're the only, we can't go anywhere else because nobody else is a Christian. Nobody else is as faithful as we are. Be careful when you get that attitude. Okay? And so we've got to dig deeper than that. And so take this opportunity to share with those other congregations when we have those moments. So it is when the Lord's church comes together collectively that we do so in unity. Right? Many times we know what it's like, family gatherings perhaps. I know, not yours and not mine, but other people's family gatherings where they just get together to argue. But we get together in unity, and it's a good and it's a pleasing thing in the sight of our Lord. Because here's our thought. Here's what we really need to focus on. Is Harlan's not going to be the only ones in heaven. Right? And when I say Harlan, the church, we're not the only ones in heaven. And thank God for that. Right? But on the same level of that, we need to be an encouragement to one another so that when that time ultimately comes, heaven will be the heaven it's supposed to be and not an unjoyful thing. Because if you're going to have that attitude, you just might not make it there. Right? I'm not God. But when we finished up that book of Revelation and we looked at all those good things, there wasn't jealousy listed there. There wasn't arrogance listed there of these things that are going to be. It's all about Him. And that's what we need to remember about our time together, is that it's not about me and it's not about you as much ultimately as it is about Him. However, as we look at this, there are building blocks that we need to look at to accomplish this goal of collectively being together in unity. You know, looking forward to heaven, because people I'll probably never meet on this side of the earth or this side of heaven. You know, we think of our friends in Uganda or some of those in Thailand and different places that are striving for the same goal that we are. And again, the only thing that's getting us to the same place is that common denominator of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so here's what we want to share this morning. I know you won't be able to believe this, but we've got 3 points. Okay? The first one is that it starts with me individually. Now, we just said, well, you said it's not about Harlan and it's about the great. Yes, you're right. But unless everyone from the congregation of Harlan has this attitude, then you can't carry it to the next step. It starts with me. It starts individually. Can we all say that this morning? It starts with me, right? We say, oh, we're not supposed to, you know, talk about me. We're not supposed to talk about... Well, when it comes to getting in the right mindset and doing things, the only person you can affect, we can affect others, but the only one that you can really make do is you or me. You know what I mean, the self, okay? So it starts with me, the individually. Me, as an individual, must pursue. This is what it's talking about here, that we must pursue. This verse in its depth is to search or pursue to be a desire to make it happen. In other words, you're not going to accidentally wake up and go to church on Sunday morning. Right? But we might have some kids that all of a sudden will be like, where am I? All right? They don't know how it happened. But they're here. Right? And so as we look at, but we cannot passively stand by and let others make it happen. You know, I pray that you'll be here this morning. I pray that, you know, as families and individuals that will be here. But ultimately, it's up to you. And so we look around today, and it's, you know, whether you're back tonight again, I can pray that you'll be back tonight. But you know who that falls on? The individual. Psalms 27 verse 4 says this: one thing I have asked from the Lord. This is a prayer that he is asking, that David is asking, that I shall seek. And so he's saying, you know, I've got a part in this. I'm going to seek out that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And he's not just talking about the church building. Okay, that's a good place to go, but we're not talking about a monastic society here. We're not talking about having a convent. We're talking about the house of the Lord. That's where his people are and where he is in the midst of us. All right, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. And when we talked about his temple in heaven, who's the temple? The Lord is, right? The Lord is. He's our dwelling place. And we long to dwell among him, and he longs to dwell among us. We see from this passage that there is something to what we call the corporate assembly, okay? And I know that's not a biblical phrase, but that's what this morning is, all right? The church gathering together. We had our annual meeting last week. I think it was last week. I don't know. It seemed like last month. But anyway, as we get together and we discuss some of those things, there's the corporate side of the church. But what I always look at is what makes us the church is a little Acts 2:42. That are we meeting together for the apostles' doctrine, for the breaking of bread, for prayers, and for fellowship? For fellowship? We look forward to those times, at least I hope we do. And the times where the congregation comes from our individual abodes to gather together to what makes up the initial assembly of God's people. And yes, as we said, that would be the congregation here at Harlan. And it's a time to honor him as an assembled people. If we fail to be a part of that or desire to be a part of that, that kind of lets us know a little bit where our heart is. You know, you don't have to tell me where your heart is because I can see where your seat is. Right? Whether you're feeling it or not. And so as we look at that, this is a time to honor him. And again, it's not about me. Boy, I hope I get something out of the service today. I really need it. Then you're here for the wrong reason. I'm sorry, but you're here for the wrong reason. No, I'm not sorry. But you're here for the wrong reason. And because it's always about, we live in a service industry, right? We go to McDonald's and we want them to give it to us. right? The way we want it. We go to Burger King and we want it our way. I think they've changed their logo or their motto since then, but it used to be that we go places and we want for it to us to be served. But when we're here, it ought to all be about what can I do for Jesus? Derek kind of touched on that in Sunday school this morning. And don't tell me when we come here we're all in, because the sign-up sheet that Derek has out there for things that we want to do is awful sparse at times. So don't come here and say, I'm all in for Jesus, whatever needs to be done. You know, but then here's we got, well, I don't have to have my name on a list to help out. You don't have to have your name on the list to be accountable, but you could do it, whatever that may be. Whatever that may be. And so when we look at that, it starts with me. Is it for me that I'm doing this? Then we're wrong. Because as the old acronym, if you want true joy in your life, it starts with Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Church, it's high time we start thinking of ourselves less. I'm not saying don't think of ourselves. We need to do that. But there's things that we need to think of more. Jesus and others. Okay? And so as we look at that, it starts with me individually. Secondly, it then takes us, moves from the me to the we, or to the us. It makes the collective form of us. Right? It will take each individual Christian working together collectively, as is the will of our Savior. What? Jesus wants for us to work together collectively? Do you know, and when we call the Lord's Prayer, John 17, that's probably more accurately his prayer, what we see is called the High Priestly Prayer. But you know what he spends a majority of his time praying for? Us. First, he starts off with those immediate disciples around him, those that will become the first Christians. But he's praying for the long term. He's praying for us. John 17:17 through 23. No, it's a little bit of a lengthy text, but it helps to fill in some of the gaps. Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. Where does it start? It starts with the Logos. It starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus saying that we need to be sanctified in Him. He is as true as it gets, but He's letting the Father know, sanctify them through me. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. That's those immediate disciples right there. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may themselves also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on the behalf of these alone, but for also those that believe in me through their word. That's why it's important for us to believe the apostles' doctrine. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Wouldn't it be great if we could have the relationship that Jesus has with his Father? We have that opportunity, but sometimes I think we let it fall dreadfully short. That they also may be in us. See, this is then the unity that the Father and the Son have, and then he's praying that they would have that same unity with each other and also in him, in them, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Because there is nothing more, and you can say whatever you want, but if you're going out and trying to evangelize, and you can't get along with the people that you sit with in the same building on Sunday morning, the world looks at the church and laughs and mocks us. Because why do I want to be a part of another group that can't get along? The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. The Father loves us just as much as he loves the Son. And that's kind of mind-blowing, because the Son did everything the Father asked for him to do. How about us? But the love is still there. That's why we're told in that passage of Scripture that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ. Notice it doesn't say salvation, it says from his love. We can have children that go off the deep end, that do whatever they want to do, and that does not change our love for them. However, it may change their eternal destiny of salvation. But that's what the Lord is saying. It doesn't change his love for us. Jesus prayed not only for his immediate disciples, but prayed for all the future Christians as well. The Messiah knows, just as he had stated in Mark chapter 3 and verses 24 and 25, that if a kingdom or a house is divided, that it will not stand. It will fall. And that's when he looks at us and says, it's up to you. You want to be divided? Do you want to fall? Because he says his kingdom is going to last forever. That's when you can tell if you've made it yours or you're living in his. Jesus had prayed for and desires unity among his followers. And so how can we claim to be his and not have the longing to gather with others that are his and all the others that are his? Which leads us to point number three. We, collectively, individually, everybody, we must have the right attitude. We must have the right attitude. Christians must develop the mind of Christ and apply his spirit to our lives and ultimately tie it all together with love. Let's read Colossians 3, 12 through 15, which I believe is a text that Daryl used in his lesson the other night. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Everyone on this side of the building, look over to clear to this side of the and say, I am thankful for you. All right, now everybody here, look to the center section and say, I am thankful for you. George was looking. Everybody in the middle section, look over here and say, I am thankful for you. That's what the Lord wants for us to have, is to be thankful for one another. Right? Now, I know what you're saying. Now, they didn't say it to them. And no, that's not, you're missing out on the point. Okay? Do we get the idea that we're all called in one body and be thankful? The peace of Christ. I'm sure he never picked a fight with a fellow Christian. Do you imagine that? Jesus hanging out with 12 other guys, and I don't think he ever picked a fight. I think he may have picked on them a little bit, but I don't think he picked a fight. Never picked a fight with a fellow Christian, physical-wise, mental-wise, emotional-wise, or otherwise. It's definitely easier to be united when we don't let the petty things divide us. the bond of all perfection, the thing which will unite all other things and make complete, Ephesians 4:13. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity is, according to the Scripture, a good thing, and it is a pleasant thing, especially among the brethren, members of the same Christian community, whether of this congregation or the universal church. And why shouldn't it be among the great family of mankind? The church. On the other hand, disunion is bad and hateful. The former is from heaven and the latter is from hell. So remember where our Savior is and strive for that same destination. Have you been united with Jesus Christ in His blood? Shared in His death? Arise to walk in the newness of life? Then we have a family in which we should find the greatest unity ever through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't let the things of the world, don't let the people of the world, don't let these things that are temporal and things that'll pass away get in the way of us really enjoying and being the body and the family of Christ that He wants for us to be. Love one another. And I know sometimes it's hard, but you know, sometimes you're not so lovable either. And neither am I. But Jesus Christ loved us enough, the Father loved us enough, Jesus Christ died for us. And we need to live a life for one another. By serving one another, we serve Him. Let's just serve Him the best way that we possibly can. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, be united with other Christians. Be united in the mindset of God in heaven, of having your sins washed away, of believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, of repenting of your sin that brought about this separation, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then to live faithfully for Him. Showing kindness, compassion, the list goes on, humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And I'm talking about biblical tolerance, not this world's form of tolerance. But it's pretty hard and difficult for me to believe that myself, you, or anyone else is trying to love the Father as we should if we can't love one another like we should. So remember, it's not about me. It's about others. And first of all, it's about Jesus. Do we want to be unified today? We may have unity, right? We have union in the blood of Jesus. But put those things away that separate us so that we can be unified for the body of Christ. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?